Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the How We Scaled show. My name is Jeff Brandeis, president and founder of CEO of Brandeis Coaching and Brandeis Training Solutions. Each of our episodes will feature a CEO, VP of sales, or an entrepreneur that has scaled their business to six, seven, even eight figures. And on the show, we will ask questions to them about what they did that scaled their business, that grew their revenues, that made them what they are today. So you ready to listen and learn? Stay tuned. One, two, and three. Here we go.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another amazing episode of How We Scaled, brought to you by Jeff Brandeis Coaching and Training. Of course, I'm your host, Rye Russell, and I am always so excited to bring amazing individuals to this show and to connect with all of you, because we have so many amazing individuals here in our community. Our next guest, Jeremy Smith, I'm really excited to talk to him about his company, Launchpad Group USA. And Jeremy, we're excited to have you.
Well, thank you. It's exciting to be here and excited that you guys have so much enthusiasm.
We absolutely do. I think we have to love what we do and bring happiness to the world. And so I'm always excited to meet people like yourself who are also doing amazing things to support the community. And I would love to learn more about your business of the Launchpad Group.
Yeah, so we work with businesses that generally food and beverage brands that are trying to get into Costco. And so we have representation services that we contract with our clients for. And so we act as a Costco sales team. We also have a marketing group that does branding and design as well to support our clients. But most of our work is focused on sales. I've been doing sales since I was probably 13 years old and selling underground newspapers on a street corner in Boston. So used to buy the newspapers for a nickel and sell them for a quarter. So it was a good profit ratio, but I didn't know much about profit margins back then, but it was a good margin.
That's incredible. And I'm here from New England as well. So that's what got you into sales and entrepreneurship, if you will, at such a young age?
Everyone has different experiences in life. After our parents got divorced, and my dad wasn't a deadbeat dad. He was there and he sent money to our mom, but My mom was like the government. There's never a amount of money they can't spend. And so I figured that if I wanted to buy the things that I wanted as a 13-year-old, like I was really into jokes and I loved this joke shop in Boston. And my parents wouldn't give me any money to go shop there and buy fake blood. And I wanted to film a movie. And so I took my money at the end of the event after I sold the newspapers, and then I had my budget and I went and bought the fake blood, came home, used our parents' 8mm camera, and my two brothers were my cast, and we shot a movie and we had fake blood, and it was the coolest thing. And I said, wow, this making money thing, is pretty cool. And then we started during those winter months, a snow shoveling business that we would go in, and I came up with the idea because one of the problems that people have after they get their driveways cleared is the plows then come down the streets and plow people back in. So we would give everyone one free clearing of the plow mess that they would leave behind. And so people started signing with me and my brothers to shovel their driveways clear. So at that age, we started doing that. And you pick up on it quickly. You know, why does someone say $20 is too much? Why does someone say $20 isn't enough? And you learn from those things and those experiences. And then you realize the freedom you have as a salesperson, both to if you can speak a little bit and you understand things, Over time, it becomes a lot of fun, and you learn a lot. The salesperson that I was when I was much younger is very different today. So I don't sell anything along the lines that I did when I was in my early 20s.
That's amazing. I think those of us that get into sales, we probably started very, very young, and we collected those data points of, you know, what made people say yes, what made people say no, and defining our value proposition. So I love meeting other individuals that where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the only jobs that you have to have a certain psyche, I think, to be a really good salesperson, because you hear no 90% of the time. And so, you know, there are certain objections you can't overcome, but at the same time, you just have to learn a skill set. And in the end, It's you know, I read a lot of sales books when I was younger, and I think they're all a bunch of baloney, most of them. But it's really about building relationships. That's what sales really is. The process of selling itself is often fraught with problems, because nobody really wants to be sold something. But if you build a relationship with someone, then that opens the door to them wanting to have a relationship with you, and you become someone that's part of the solution, not necessarily just coming in and I'm Bob or I'm Jill from company A, and I'm trying to sell you the next platform. Plus, you know, as you get more experience, you learn that you have to constantly do your homework. Otherwise you can't scale a business. And so, you know, the more you know about your customer, the more respect you're showing to them. And when people call me, that's the first thing I look for. If someone hasn't spent the time to go through my website and understand what my business is, I don't want to talk to them, because if they're not going to show me that level of respect, then I'm not going to do business with them no matter what. So I think all of those things are important. And then I think the biggest lesson that none of the sales books really taught me, and I learned from a couple of different sales professionals, was that shut up and listen. That sometimes salespeople and entrepreneurs especially are so, you know, in the, especially their first few meetings, they're so interested in talking and speaking that they don't give the buyer time to respond. And I had a meeting one time with Costco where there was that awkward silence when the question was asked. And instead of allowing the buyer to sit with it and then respond, which we would have gotten the answer, the CEO of the company just broke the silence because he was uncomfortable with it. But you find that a lot of the time that if you allow that 15 to 20 seconds of awkward silence, that you may make a major breakthrough. And that's the problem with a lot of salespeople, is they're so focused on their PowerPoint presentations and how they're going to present in the meeting that they don't allow for enough, you know, dialogue. I always tell people that, you know, a meeting is going in to sit down and have a discussion. It's not for you to lecture them. And, you know, otherwise, you know, these people go in with these 30-page PowerPoints. And if you just time yourself and you've got a 35 to 45 minute meeting, sometimes it can take, you know, if you've got 25 to 30 slides, it can take 3/4 of the meeting just to get through that. And I had a client one time that wouldn't listen at a big corporation. And he went in, read through, and he got through every damn page of that 32-point page PowerPoint. And the buyer at the end of the meeting said, "Hey, we're out of time. Thank you very much for coming out here." We had flown all the way to the Texas region from the West Coast. And, you know, that's why I'm saying that you know, if a salesperson doesn't listen, they miss opportunity.
The one thing I love about this show is we have so many professional salespeople that have learned these things tried and true. And something that a lot of people ask us, right, is everybody's talking about authenticity and being an authentic salesperson.
Yes.
And you, I, what just resonated with me so much is the way that you just kind of explained that. It's like allowing that awkward silence, but we can't force authenticity. And I feel like some of us is in sales, we're like, you know, okay, there's this and this is me. And, you know, I'm rough and brash and maybe that's authentic. And it's like, but that's not, you're not curious about the other side. If you're curious about the problem and how you can solve it, now it's a collaborative solution that you're coming to.
Exactly. And those are the long-term lasting relationships that you have. I do speak at some sales seminars, and I have this one slide in particular that is from the movie with Alec Baldwin in it with the sales guys. I can't remember the name of it for the life of me. Maybe you remember it, but it's a picture of Alec Baldwin, and he's talking about ABC, always be closing. And my slide says, leave this guy in the trunk of your car. Don't take him or her to the meeting because they are not going to resonate with the buyer because they're about me themselves. They're not in a position to listen. And so that's the type of salesperson that you don't want in your organization because they don't listen to anybody but themselves.
So here's a question for you, Jeremy, sure, that I'm interested in, because obviously part of scaling is the team. And so I'm excited to learn more about you and your team. But what I'm curious about, when you said that ABC type team member, right? That we've all seen them or we've all been a part of that team. So my question for you, I like the example of leave them in the trunk and, you know, in the meeting, is there and where is there a place for that type of mentality?
I think it's their best to show how not to sell. I think they're good examples. The world, you know, the world changes. To not think as a salesperson that you have to adapt to the changes in the environment and how people work together is ridiculous. And so, you know, there's a tendency when you're really young to be a little brash and arrogant, and it's natural. It's a process that you work out over time. And you sometimes see it in the adults, like somebody like, and I hate to use his name, but like Donald Trump. That's an example of a guy who's like that. He has charisma, but he doesn't listen to anybody but himself. And so that person lives in their own bubble. And another thing I always say about teams, because I still think the best book about building teams is a book called Sacred Hoops, and it was written by Phil Jackson. And I hand this book out to every one of my employees because he talks about how his most difficult challenge was when Jordan left the team. Scottie Pippen then became the star. And then when Jordan came back, Pippen was upset because he wasn't the star anymore. Jordan was back. And so he had to bring them together to get them to collaborate. And then the first few games together, they played awful and they were, getting blown out. But then it all came back into sync like an orchestra and everybody worked together. And a really good sales team has a vast group of personalities because the buyers of the personalities are not cookie cutter. You know, one person reacts well to a somewhat brasher person because that buyer is a little bit more brash. Another person wants to deal with a female rep. So you have to take all of those things into account and the personalities. Now, I also believe it's really important to put salespeople on commission and draws against commission. And most companies in my industry don't do that. So I feel like the salespeople should share in the agony of defeat as well as the glory of victory. And so at our other company, which we sold, our top salesperson was making $400,000 a year, as to where the average person that was selling at our competitors was only making $130,000 a year. And those people are making $130,000, that salary with their bonus. But at the same time, when we lost our largest account, it was 37% of our business, which you never want to be in that position. But sometimes a client comes in and just grows like weeds and you run into that. And so his income dropped from 400,000 down to about 160,000. But he went out and hustled so hard that we made up all that business in 12 months. And that's how you scale quickly. So if you have a sales team that has just paid salaries and a bonus, why should that person work any harder than a person who's only, let's say, making 80,000 a year? Because you're just, there's not much of an incentive. But if you're on a sales against a draw, no one's capping your income. So that salesperson, if you get the right people with the right skill set and they're hungry enough, reward the hell out of them and let them go out and make as much money as they can. And that, and I like keeping small teams so that you can control the messaging easier. I think the challenge with large teams and is that you get such a wide variety of personalities and skill set that you wind up having people that really shouldn't be out in the field making sales, but together they still all bring in their numbers. I'm more apt to want to push it to the company to the limits and let the salespeople make as much as possible. And at some point you almost break, but then things mellow out a little bit and then you hit a level and then you go to the next level. But if you don't properly incentivize salespeople, it's rough. And I think that this idea that salespeople should be salaried is archaic. And it just doesn't make sense to me. But I was raised differently. I grew up in that environment. I was 21 years old. When I was 22 years old, I landed a big account and I'm making $85,000 a year. I went out and bought a brand new Pontiac Fiero, which was a hot car at the time, even though the doors couldn't close on the car. It was the worst car I ever owned, but it was cool when it worked. And, so 22 years old, making $80,000 a year, I only had a salary of 40,000, but I was hungry as a mofo. And I went out there and knocked on every door all day and night. And I landed the largest agency account in the U.S., and so I was on the gravy train at a really young age, but that taught me that if I really commit to this, I can get a reward. If the company had just paid me 40 or 60,000 a year, I would have never gone after that business because the only one who would have made money off of it was the company. The salesperson, I would have got no commission on that if I worked for my competitors.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that with me, Jeremy. And for everybody in the audience, I know they got so much value from that. So this is fantastic. I would love to learn more about how you've taken all of this knowledge and brought it to Launchpad and what types of clients are optimal for you or what types of businesses are the best types of businesses to reach out to you.
Well, we like working with entrepreneurs and small brands and help them scale large. Like when we met Chobani, it was like a 6-person company. And the head of their sales team said, we're going to be a billion-dollar company in 5 years. And I said, I got to just sign these guys because I want to see if they make it, which they did. And they're very successful. But that's an example of a company that was committed to a goal of achieving something, and there was nothing that was going to stop them. They're a rare breed. They're less than 1% of companies are like that. To go into one of the most competitive categories in the country, which is yogurt, and to come in against all these billion-dollar companies and just take them on, it's an exciting story. So who wouldn't want to work with companies like that? We worked with Crave Jerky, which was another example of a company that just took off out of nowhere. And you get to work with an entrepreneur like John Sebastiani. There's so much to learn from them. You know, it was like I worked on a project years ago that I got to as an outside consultant, meet Steve Jobs and spend a little bit of time with him. And, you know, I feel the same way about somebody like Steve Jobs, although he's into a category unto himself, as I do about some of these entrepreneurs that you meet that are starting their company. They have a dream and a vision, and to be able to go out and partner with them and help them grow and become this, you know, dominant company after, you know, them working so hard and putting the capital behind it, you know, it's exciting. And so we work with, you know, about 15 clients. We don't let the list get beyond that size-wise, because it's I'm not looking to become, I sold my other company that I was partners with my brother in. So I'm looking more for the quality of the relationship these days and working with good people with shared values than I am to, you know, just hitting the ball, you know, the ball out of the park. So, it's for me, I never would want to work with, you know, a large corporation that doesn't have entrepreneurial roots. When we sold our company, I got to work inside a 40,000 employee, $2 billion company. And for me personally, it was just stifling, because to them, they want to grow, but they grow through acquisitions more than organic growth. So I like it. Plus, I love food, and you know, I have a ton of passion for food. So actually helping food and beverage companies grow, I mean, it's a dream come true.
That's incredible. Well, Jeremy, if I'm a business and I'm looking for some help scaling and some coaching, what is the best way for me to reach out to you?
Well, you know, I always give out my cell phone number because I'm available pretty much 24/7. So they can call me at my cell number, which is 650-576-8803. But if they want to learn about our company and who some of our clients are and what we do first, they can go to our website, which is launchpadgroupusa.com. And they can reach us through the website as well, and then email me there. But I'm always on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is the great, you know, is one of the greatest business sites that there is for connecting and networking with people. And it's also an unusual place because people are so helpful and want to help each other grow. And so I've always enjoyed being there. But most people who know me read a lot of my posts and the podcasts that I do. And so, you know, if anyone wants to reach me, they can go through the numbers, our website, or find me on LinkedIn.
Well, I know I will connect with you after this, and I'm really excited to listen to your podcast, as I know our audience is as well. Can you plug your podcast for us, Jeremy?
Well, I actually don't have a regular, I appear on podcasts just like appearing on yours. I don't think I have enough time in a day to actually do a podcast. I wish I did, because I like this format, because you know, not just what I have to say, but there's so many interesting stories and business experiences that podcasts like yours are sharing. And I don't think there's been a better time for the business person today, because there's so much information that you have access to. You know, when I first started out in sales, if you wanted to do research, you had to go to the library. And, you know, there was no internet. People were using pagers for communication. It was a very different environment than it is today.
It is very much so. Well, thank you so much for that. So we can check out your podcast appearances on your website.
Yes, every podcast gets listed as soon as they send me the link, including this one. And so Perfect. We promote it, and then we promote it on LinkedIn as well. So
awesome. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was a very fast 30 minutes.
I know, it's crazy. We're really excited that you are here. We're really excited that all of you are able to tune in and join us for another amazing episode of How We Scaled by Jeff Brandeis Coaching and Training. And of course, be sure to check out our show notes, and you'll get the links, and you'll be able to connect with Jeremy directly, as he has so graciously shared his number with us. So thank you all for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of How We Scaled.
Thank you so much for joining. I truly hope everyone enjoyed the podcast here and our special guest. I know each of you are really excited to possibly even be a guest on our podcast. So feel free to fill out the application form that's below. We'll follow back up with you, be in touch with you, and it'd be great to have you. In addition, I know I'll be reaching out to you to see how we might be able to even do some business and have a conversation about working together. Again, thank you so much for joining our podcast. And if you do know of someone else that actually would like to be on the podcast, feel free to recommend him or her to also fill out the application below. Again, thank you so much for joining. Have a great day and see you next week on How We Scale.